Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of dog ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs. Today I'm taking a walk with Jose and Laura, who own Reboot Imagine, which specializes in spatial computing. So how are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic.
My audience is probably like, why is she interviewing spatial computing and VR and all this stuff? And how does that have to do with dogs and pet ownership? So I brought this. So this is my pet today.
I love it. That is such a beautiful analogy. I actually had the Tamagotchi app on my phone to showcase a similar thing. This is incredible. Yeah. So we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, exactly. But, so I got it. I got it like 2 days ago. And he's kind of annoying. I will tell you. Like, he's not as realistic as my dog. But I don't know if that's because, like, I'm used to my dog. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, this. Yeah. And then it makes me wonder, like, as a child, I tolerated this.
Yeah.
Like, I loved this when I was a kid. Now I'm like, you're kind of...
Yeah.
It's almost
too much
like
work.
You,
yeah.
It's kind of like...
I haven't had a Tamagotchi as an adult, but I can imagine it can be... Yeah. It's too much time. Yeah.
You know, it's really funny because I was going to show the app and talk to you about it. And my first thought was, it's like going back to middle school. As an adult,
exactly.
You mentioned it yourself. You are a seasoned animal, and your owner. It's something that it's really cool to kind of revisit. Like, oh man, these were the first steps in learning how to take care of something.
This doesn't communicate like a dog,
exactly.
Or like a pet. You know, like I'm so used to. I mean, when I was a kid, I'm sure I was like, yeah, I'm on it. You know, like I know it's time to feed him, and now. I'm like, this guy needs to be fed so much.
Yes. But it's such a different connection, right?
Yeah.
And also, it's a really cool concept of what really is communication in a world where language is almost near non-existent. We're talking about animals and pets where they're trying their absolute best to communicate as much as we are.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the day, there is a cognitive... visual and spatial limitations that don't allow us to communicate effectively. And what you mentioned, you mentioned the Tamagotchi, how it makes it very difficult to know when to feed it or how to feed it and how constant it is to feed. But ask yourself a question. If your dog could tell you, I want to be exactly fed this amount of food, it might be just as annoying as that Tamagotchi, because the dog can't really tell you, hey, I'm hungry, but they usually wait. They usually are, hey, my owner's not here. Who am I going to annoy that I need food, right? So, but if your dog had a cell phone or had an iPhone access, maybe he'll start calling you when you're at work.
Like, where are you? Where are you here?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you not home? I'm like, you know, where are you? Are you with your friends? Why are you not with me?
Yeah.
What's up? Did a really cool concept of that, right? Where they gave the dog a vocal, and all of a sudden the dog ended up being annoying.
Which one? The bunny?
Yeah.
Bunny the dog?
Yes, I believe so.
From the movie Up?
Oh, no. Oh,
yes.
Well, yeah.
They gave him a vocal box.
There's actually a dog. Yeah. It's a poodle, mm-hmm. and they... gave it these push
buttons. To talk and communicate.
Yeah, bunny. And, like, it was having an existential breakdown.
Yes.
Like, it was literally, like, why dog?
Why dog?
There and you're like, what...
It's a... Oh, man. I didn't know
what
we were going to get...
What do you tell a dog?
We weren't going to get into that conversation so fast, but that's a huge problem why we should be tackling spatial and artificial intelligence and cognitive awareness through technology, because I really believe that we're going to hear what I personally call the scream that you can never unhear.
Yeah, the scary.
You know, I think a lot about the Middle Ages. A lot of people don't know, a lot of people focus about how scary it was, how dark the Middle Ages were, how people were creating atrocities. Nobody ever stops to think about mostly everyone during that time was not drinking water. They were drinking fermented wines and alcohol.
Because,
and the reason that started that was because we had intelligent people trying to figure out what's the answer to all of this. They were doing research. One of them created a machine called a telescope. They looked through and they saw a cell and they're like, whoa, What is this in the water? Why is it moving? I don't get it. Can I talk to it? The immediate answer was fear. So everybody collectively started fearing water. They stopped drinking water, and we know the story from there. Right. We're about to reach a moment where we're going to, and it's already happening, bats, crows, and dolphins are being tackled by our artificial intelligence experts because they show the highest levels of IQ and communication to the point that we are already seeing the patterns. We already have a, let's say, a dictionary of vocal sounds, words that these animals make and portray for certain things. Now it's up to AI to figure out what each sound, each word means. And we're now feeding information to these animals. Once we start being able to figure out how to translate this information, we might hear something we don't want to hear.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is imagine, you know, and I'm a science fiction fan, right? So I think about a lot about, you know, a huge, you know, global moment where we have the top researchers sitting on a table with, let's say, a cat or a dog. And, you know, we always talk about, everybody loves thinking about the moment that we talk to aliens, right?
Right,
what
yeah.
about the moment we talk with an animal?
Right.
Think about the moment that we put a
machine.
I mean,
that is a good point.
Yeah.
Because people are always like, aliens, they're so, I don't know, otherworldly.
Yeah, we don't think about the ones we can't
exactly.
talk here. And it's gonna be terrifying, right? Because we're gonna be like, oh, you know, I've had my dog for X amount of time. It's a family friend. They're gonna do like a really beautiful special and show everything, right? And then they're gonna put the microphone on the dog, and the dog's gonna be like, I've been living a hell my whole life. I've never been happy. Why am I in a house? Why am I doing this? And it's like, oh man, what do you do there? How do you collectively put the genie back in the bottle when a human is saying, I gave you everything. I loved you unconditionally. I. What do you do?
Right.
What do you do? It's going to destroy a lot of social...
moral dilemmas.
Yeah.
There was actually, I heard it on NPR. Mm-hmm. I don't remember her name, but she was a scientist, and a veterinary scientist. And she was saying that the dog she had right now is the last dog she would ever get. Even though she loves dogs, but she was like, you know, there's a lot of social constructions that we create that then
facilitate that.
Yeah. It facilitates that, or it makes some sort of a habit, whatever it is, right? Whatever the context is. But it doesn't mean that it's a positive, you know? It could be a negative.
That's where it gets dark, right? Because that same argument that you're making was used for a lot of things that humans were doing in history that were very, very bad.
Right.
There was a lot of actions that people were taking, you know, slavery is a huge one, that there were people that were like, you know, trying to make really cognitive, you know, almost sensical arguments for it, that now we look at it like with horrific, you know, reaction to it. But there was people that genuinely thought this way, right?
Right.
And it's going to be the same thing with animals, where if we hear that sound, there's going to be people that are going to say, but I'm giving all of the resources. This is my loved one, right? It's scary, but it's also needed. It's important. It's kind of like...
No, and it's like if you actually really do care, mm-hmm. you really actually want to know
right.
what they're feeling. Because at that point, then you don't really care. It's
there
very self-serving.
Exactly.
So that's the tricky part. Mm-hmm.
So... how can AI essentially help a dog owner in the future?
Oh, there's a lot of tools that come to mind. AI veterinarians, right? The cost of veterinarians, it is a specialty trade.
Yeah.
A much needed one. Mm-hmm. Being able to provide accurate, when needed, care to your pet could be very significant to maybe alleviate a world where an animal will be able to...
Right.
to communicate, because you do want to at least hear a thank you, right? Oh. The last thing you want is your
no,
dog to
I
be...
No, I don't want... I want, like, cuddles.
There you go. You know, there you go.
No, and an AI doctor, the veterinary is for special situations. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, my cat started throwing up randomly, like crazy.
Yes.
And it was literally in the middle of a freaking tropical storm.
Yep.
So, and she was, it was really bad. I was freaking out. Mm-hmm. And I had called like 5 different places. Luckily, one of them was open. And it was also in like the middle of COVID. So I was in my car crying, freaking out. And it's like storming outside when, who knows, maybe I could have like detected something.
The stress.
The stress it creates. Yeah. Imagine if you would have been able to just, with a scan, be able to see it. It tells, hey, this is normal. Da, da, da.
It's like Star Wars. You know,
there
like,
you go. You're going to be fine. Yeah, it helps anxiety.
Like, yeah. I don't know if there's a way to scan the vomit or something like you're going to scan the body or something to be able to tell.
Yeah.
Like,
mental health is going to be, it's going to be benefit the most from this, right? That level of anxiety to see that and immediately turn that anxiety down, knowing that it's going to be fine.
Any little thing, you're like heart attack. Ah.
Yep.
And I've been thinking about this. I think every pet owner thinks about this, about their death, right? Because we're gonna outlive them. So the benefits of, you know, virtual reality to making your dog live forever.
Yes.
That would be a possibility.
100%. It's happening with humans now, right? So cognitive mapping is a real thing. People are now, we're starting to get breakthroughs in science and research where we're learning that we are nothing but algorithms, and we can definitely be replicated, and everything shows some kind of pattern and recognition. We're going to apply all of those learnings into animals. And I mentioned earlier, we're looking at research with animals being done and for communication, that eventually we'll be able to copy or essentially maybe cognitive record every single action this pet makes their whole life. That eventually there'll be a shift when you lose your physical pet, that it's all of these learnings almost kind of continue on,
right?
That you won't even know the difference unless you actually try to physically feel your pet.
Right.
Yeah,
it will be. Because, you know, there are a lot of people, I mean, they don't do this. I mean, they do to a certain extent. Like, you know, you get cremated and you could get some of the ashes. But for a pet, they've done, like, you could have a pillow stuffed with their fur. Like weird, some of it is weird, you know, like.
Yeah,
everybody mourns in their own way.
Right.
But no, there is like one thing that, and I don't know if you've seen this before, but really like, I don't know if this applies for everybody,
okay.
But one thing that I saw that is very cool is taking pictures of your pet throughout like your home and being able to import that into virtual reality. So you can put your virtual reality headset at any point in time and be able to see your cat or your dog just hanging out with them in the living room, you know? Personally, I don't know if I can handle that.
Right. Well, that's the next question I was going to ask. Like, will that create then a codependency?
But is codependency a bad thing if your mental health is in a position that allows you to be, let's say, functional? It's a new normal. I once again, if you go to the past and tell people that they will be spending most of their time and life behind a cell phone screen.
Right, that's codependency.
It's a codependency unlike anything else. I think it's really cool that I will be able to revisit moments that even I at this moment can't remember.
Right.
That it's going to be incredibly cool when somebody sends you an email say, hey, you know, I remembered your name just yesterday because I accessed the memory when I was 12, and then you get to see that memory, and then all of a sudden you're overwhelmed with positive emotions. You know, I think a lot about my childhood and people that I weirdly enough cherish, but I can't remember their names. These were childhood friends. I remember the feelings of being, you know, in my parents' basement playing the Nintendo 64, the feelings of community and friendship. And it's heartbreaking when you realize, oh man, it's been almost 15, 20 years. I don't remember their names.
Right. Yeah, and bringing this back to pets too. Yeah. It's like when you first, you know, adopted, or, you know, you first met your pet, or when your friends, you know, when your family, when you first brought them home, like all that.
Mm-hmm. That's a difficult, and that's going to create difficult new levels of deep connections, because one thing I've noticed too is most pet owners that deeply connect with their pets, most of the time have multiple pets throughout their lives.
Yeah.
And yes, they remember their multiple pets, but the most recent one always will have a deeper cut than your first pet. It's not that you love them any less or any more. It's just,
well, I could say, that depends.
Yeah, right? It's hard. It's hard, but the data,
I mean,
unfortunately, even if it's 0.1%, that 0.1% is significant enough for a system that's designed to be aware of your mental health.
Like, then there's also a human connection, right? So, like, mm-hmm. for example, one thing that, like, for me, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to scan my dog and have, I mean, like you said, it's already existing, right? Yeah. But is the touch. I feel like mm-hmm. touching is
well,
such.
Well, haptics is getting really big.
How would
and better,
you,
to be honest.
Do you think, when you look at the human body, uh-huh. we're nothing but a brain that converts digital signals uh-huh, into yeah. our brain. So everything from a hug, a touch, a grab, you will eventually be able to reach a place where, and actually a great company that comes to mind, it's called Contact CI. Mm-hmm. Contact CI is a haptics glove company that focuses on remapping certain gestures or physical features that you usually feel in a digital space with your hands uh-huh. and remapping them so your brain knows, oh, wait, this is a tension, this is a grab, this is a physical force. So eventually, you're going to remap your mind into learning new physical sensations.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe.
So it's like you're doing this, but you're not really.
Exactly. So you're going to feel a new type of hug.
Right.
A new type of embrace no, that can be digitally yeah. replicated. And so what you.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
There's a big technology conference in Las Vegas every year in January called CES, Consumer yes. Electronic. And this year, we literally, in January, there was a simulation of literally petting a cat.
Yep.
And that's literally was just this year. So imagine being able to combine that with.
So you were petting a cat, but
yeah,
it wasn't
with
a
gloves.
Cat.
Yeah, in yep. VR.
And you could feel
and
the
could
fur,
feel
you could
you
feel the individual fur lines, the clumps of hair. It's new sensations that
so
are being remapped.
Yeah, yeah. And you can imagine, yeah, being able to just hug, like, you know, if your family lives hundreds of miles away or thousands of miles away across the world. Yeah, being able to memorialize, being able to touch. And yeah, it's just gonna keep getting yeah. better over time.
And a lot of people don't realize that artificial intelligence is just much more popular now because now it's gotten to a mainstream procurement and adoption space that it can actually solve real everyday problems. But these systems were already managing our traffic lights, managing airport traffic, managing your cars, your
well,
health.
No, you told, yeah. I remember when I met him, he was like, you know, ChatGPT is like, how old did you say?
It's at least 10 to 20 years like, old. When you look back at the investors of these platforms and these technologies, they usually get access by very privileged and deservingly so, right? Because they
right,
put in
right,
their
the
time
money,
and efforts
yeah.
and the money and also the research and most of the time, the time itself, right? They're most of the time, they're, you know, generals in military forces and all that they're using these technologies to make our, you know,
right.
our environment
strategy
safer. Yeah,
and
strategy. It goes back to the internet, right? A lot of people, for the original name of the internet was DARPANET, created by DARPA, right? So this was meant to be a replication of the highway system. It was meant to create a robust network of communication and access, but most of all, security. This is actually something that I personally tackle a lot in my company. There's advancements that are coming, like Future G. Future G technology is essentially the internet, but new, right? We always think about when the internet was created, they were trying to create communication with the highway systems, and they were solving a lot of problems that led to traffic lights, to tolls, to city building and management. Now we live in a world where all of these technologies exist, they're automated, there's a lot of businesses, but they're not talking to each other, right? What is going to happen when your traffic lights are actually deeply connected to your car navigation system, to your home
Miami
lights?
Miami needs that.
Yeah, it does
exactly.
need that.
Robotic nannies is going to become a really big thing. You know, a lot of people don't realize.
Ooh, yeah,
the Jetsons did it really
right.
They definitely nailed it. We're going to reach a place where we are going to be living in very isolated but gorgeous hubs, right? And the only way that we're going to be able to travel is going to probably be through spatial technologies.
Like, I'm a little yeah. skeptical
yeah?
because no, like it's. I see the good, and then I see, like, you know.
Overwhelming bad?
No, not overwhelming. I mean,
it is
possible. But,
yeah.
but like, for example, with us living, right? So there's a documentary where this guy goes to a bunch of places where people live to be 100, and he talks to them or whatever. And one of the things that was so important was this like community setting, right? And I kind of feel like while you are in a sense creating your own community, right? Because there's a lot of, it's like, you know, my personal preferences are this, your personal preferences are that. And so you could create your own group of friends, yeah, right? But then where I get
the new information, the echo chamber.
It gets
you're creating your own echo chamber.
Do I know if it's real or not? That's where I find like, and then codependency, you know, like issues about that start happening. And it's like, okay, well, would I want to live in the real world if this world that I created is so awesome?
Well, that's the really interesting perspective, especially now. And that's a lot of what we talk about with like the industry friends that we're with, because it's like, especially when new technologies come out and all this stuff, that it's like, okay, this is what all of our friends think, and this is what is happening on Twitter and all the circles we're at. But like, okay, what do normal people actually think?
Right. Yep.
Like, you have to really step back and be like, what is the normal opinion of this thing, right? Because you really are stuck in these kind of echo chambers where you really do have to kind of step back.
The reality is that there's a lot of people right now that have never associated with somebody outside of their culture, race, ethnicity.
Yeah. Right.
These echo chambers exist. Uh-huh. If anything, it's creating accessibility for everybody to create their own community in their own echo chamber. The scary part is people who want to force you into their echo chamber. Well, that's the bigger fear.
Okay, right.
But
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so I don't know how, like, to relate it with, like, let's say, for example, with my dog friends, right?
Yes.
I have a large dog. Most of my friends have not the same dog, but a similar dog. And when you go and talk to a small dog, not to say that it's different, right? We have similarities. We have a canine. But there are differences in, like, the style of play, attitude, all
where
this
you
stuff.
Go with them.
It all goes down to your perspective too. That
right.
What made you get a smaller pet than a bigger dog, or vice versa?
Well, it's sure.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, lifestyle, all that stuff. Yeah. And then it just becomes a little like, okay, well, in this future,
you won't probably interact with that person. Yeah, that's the truth. Like, it sucks to think about that, but does this person, now you got to ask yourself, are there more connections that I have with this person outside of our mutual appreciation of pets? And it gets really difficult to start asking yourself these questions, because they're new questions. These are self-value questions.
And this that's is where you have to create deeper connections than just
deeper
kind of
connections.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's the beautiful part about this work. Yes, 100%. It's the connections that you do get to foster in this new hybrid digital dominant physical world being secondary world, it's going to be the deeper connections that you build are lifelong, to the point that you're going to honor and understand the wants of this person outside or what continues forward. For me, on a personal level, I have conversations with people who are already working in digital cloning themselves. These are people that are spending 8 to 10 hours a day in virtual worlds. They are talking to people in virtual worlds. There's very VR chat, Neos, Resonite platforms they're social hubs. They're community forums.
Right.
Yeah,
they're
building their homes.
Yeah, it's
like they
Facebook.
Have homes in these third.
Yeah,
parts.
They interact. They have friends
bubbles,
over.
They invite people to their homes in virtual spaces.
I have so many questions now.
Yeah. We got to do a second podcast.
How do you buy stuff? Like, how is that exchange? Or like,
same thing with the internet. Now those questions are being asked. It's like, I really want to live in this virtual world forever. I need income. So these people, I'm working with one right now. I know people that are building worlds, solving physical world assets. I'll give you an exclusive. In our company, Remote Imagine, we focus a lot on procurement of headsets, procurement of technology.
Right.
But most of the people that procure these technologies, there is a psychology involved.
Yeah.
Same thing as getting a big pet versus a small pet. What are the type of people that purchase these digital dominant physical world secondary devices? Introverts, mostly people that actually
That show on HBO.
Black Mirror, there's also...
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, Westworld is another
World,
one.
Westworld, yes. That's crazy.
I haven't seen Westworld, but I've heard it's really good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
It's but these are that's why that art medium exists, right?
Because that's where there's different types of glasses. There's the X-Reel for the people that really just need to kind of do work like on the phone, digital projector screens, you know, activity.
So how do you get those people if you don't know how to interact? So you build a hybrid playground. So that's what we're doing in our store. We built a virtual representation of a physical store. And we have been able to build conversations with a type of client that we were never able to find at events or at activations because they are digital first people.
Let's say I come to you and I'm like, I want to be in the digital world. How do I take my dog there? They would be the same scanning.
Yeah, well, so there's a lot of new technologies, right? Yeah, so there's spatial trackers. There's there is mixed reality that's becoming a really dominant new medium in the XR space, the virtual reality. The Quest 3 just released actually this week, which is considered, and the numbers are now starting to prove it, it is the world's first mainstream mixed reality device that now under $500, you can get a headset that will create physical or rather digital anchor devices to your physical world. Like so,
explain picture, the differences between.
Yeah, like a virtual picture of your pet, you'll be able to place it on your physical wall. So whenever you put on the headset, you can see that. Or whenever you have your headset on and your pet comes to you, the headset will know that that your pet is coming towards you and it will pop it in into your virtual space. These same tools will be used for taking better care of your pets, your children. It's a new, if anything, it's going to make...
It's a mirror.
It's going to make us communicate better. In video games, we see that a lot. If you're not playing well, your character dies, right? You have to get better. So... If you're noticing the Tamagotchi, I think of the games like The Sims.
Yeah, you could try.
You can try again. Exactly. The Sims is a video game game franchise that I think a lot about that probably created the most honest reflection of human life there is. It's we are nothing but AI systems.
It was funny on TikTok. You watch whatever. And one of the things that came up was that our brains are a million gigabytes. And so my boyfriend was like, oh, how many terabytes are that? I think it was like 100 terabytes. He's like, what the fuck? I have 100 terabytes here.
Yep.
That's my brain.
And you're talking about your brain and you want to know something even terrifying? Your blood, your actual blood cell, your DNA carries, I think about 300 terabytes. So you don't even need your whole brain to carry a lot of data with you. You can just pinch your blood and have your social security data, your biometric data. It's a new level of security that is going to protect your safe space, your bubble. Nobody will be able to access your catered to you environment unless you truly allow them to. And
that's the kind of cool thing about it too, because it's like, imagine being able to use that brain space for stuff that matters and being able to use technology to make your life easier.
Right.
You know? To kind of just be able to use both stuff.
It's a scary conversations. They're really fun. But when you really start understanding the technology and you just ask yourself, how much computer processing is that going to need? Yeah. So that means not anytime soon. Quantum computing and has barely got, it's nowhere near, mainstream yet.
Right.
It will get accessible maybe in 10 to 15 years, but you already raised the question. So that means that there's a lot of, physics, technology, mixed reality, artificial intelligence engineers that are tackling that. This technology is going to lead to the ability for universal billboards to be put up. So when you're driving down the road, that billboard will be 100% a pop-up that is using your living, your cognitive, your cookies to cater to you. So if you are really into...
Yeah, it's going to be specifically for you instead of it's going to be a dog food.
No, not even. It's going to be where your financial dollars are in. Because in the new world, it follows your interests.
Uh-huh, right.
But what happens if you are so into your interests that you don't spend money in that space? For example, I love virtual reality. I love spatial computing. I hardly spend money on these headsets. One, because I know a lot of people got relationships, or two, I build these technologies myself. So when it comes to procurement and all these technologies, they're going to make it so accessible that you're being invaded, for lack of a better word. You're going to not notice that you are in the echo chamber. So
right.
I think we already are. Like, do you accept just anybody into your social networks? Like, do you accept anybody? Do you actually add just anybody to
That's
your...
That's what algorithms are.
Right, right.
Too, regardless, yeah. Like on your feeds or
we're being socially
on TikTok
engineered
or
towards
on
that.
Like reels, right, or anything, you know?
Yeah. Like, for example, hard. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, so I studied architecture. I don't do architecture anymore, yeah. But I still have interests. Like, I mean, and I will talk, I guess, more about it, like in designing dog parks. I think people do not know how to, like, there's the design of dog park sucks. I'm sorry. It's not for the human. It's not for the dog. It sucks. For example, I haven't gone on social media and looked that up, or I haven't gone on the computer and looked that up.
Oh, you're going to get a lot of it today.
It's right. It's all like in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. So if the computer doesn't know, it won't give me that opportunity unless I hint it.
Or there is a level of communication and language that humans haven't discovered yet, that they're actually saying everything that they're thinking about.
You gotta be shitting me.
Absolutely. think about...
Is my algorithm...
Well, have you gotten...
That's spatial computing. I mentioned it earlier.
I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
But then I don't understand.
I don't think a lot of people do yet. And the ones that have figured it out won't let you know until everybody actually figures it out. I truly think that there is a cognitive language through social interactions, what we're looking at.
Right, right.
There's a platform that's very popular with the kids. You probably heard it's called Roblox.
Yeah.
Roblox is incredibly popular with the kids. I love listening to the investors' calls with this platform. I love listening to the engineers talking about the future. They're right now tackling cognitive advertising, which is they have research data of, they have literal virtual billboards selling a game, a shirt, a virtual, whatever it may be. They're able to know how long a child or a person looks at a specific portion of the ad for how long. What attracted them by walking, and that casinos do this all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called attention attraction management, which is they have lights and the siren sounds of money,
well,
and you look to your
theme
left.
Parks as well.
Yes,
yeah.
and you hear the sound of making money, and you we almost want to see who won the money. It's not me. And you always want to like look, and you start looking around. That's being done in virtual reality, artificial intelligence. And you mentioned it yourself. Sometimes I think about something and it shows up in my algorithm.
Yeah, and you're like, what the hell? Does it read my brain?
These companies have been detecting how long you micro take a half a second to read a word in a post when you're reading it. Humans, when you scroll, you sometimes read one or two words, and whatever catches your time, you stop for a second. We think of them as not a long time or very briefly enough that we don't put a lot of time into it. But what happens when a machine is looking at that purposely? And now when you look it over, when you see it over a span of 10 years, this person say, oh, they'll know with precision the words that find you interesting, what you're interested on, what you spend your money on, what you are interested on just subtly.
How is that different from invasion of privacy?
It's not. It is invasion of privacy.
It's also what you let it.
Protect your safe space and your bubble.
But
be aware of it.
It becomes difficult because it's like, you know, we're talking about this guy, right?
Yeah.
So when I purchase it, you're telling me I'm saying, yeah, invade my privacy.
Yeah. That is the cost of
the
opportunity. That's the trade-off.
If you want to be able to have, you know, all your contacts at the same time, have a camera, have social media, be able to work on your phone, be able to check your emails, be able to record video notes. That's kind of the cost.
And then that's where you say, because I have a million pictures of my dog.
Yeah.
So there's my digital dog.
Eventually, without you even knowing, somebody's going to approach you and say, hey, I know how much you love your pet, and I created a virtual world of your pet. And you're not going to be able to say no. That's the scariest part, is that you're going to be it's going to be completely tailored to you. And learning to say no, protecting that safe space at all costs, becomes the important thing above it all. It's something I deeply think about a lot. You said it yourself, how do you protect yourself? You can't. You must know how to navigate this new world. Mm-hmm. Learn how to have the sacrifices of opportunity. I get that a lot, right? I'm an entrepreneur. I am a founder in a moderately successful startup company that's evolving in a new technology space that's focused on answering a lot of these questions, hopefully for the better. And you get a lot of people that try to abuse that. I have had founders, investors that have dropped nuggets of information that I don't reveal to people, trying to get an emotional connection with me that is very terrifying, that you almost go like, wow, this person understands me. And you're like, oh, this person understands me. This is a manipulation. This person has access to my social medias. They know what I care about. They listen to my podcasts. They, you know, animals are something I deeply care about. And as people hear this podcast, they're going to learn that. It's not something I go out of my way to talk to because I'm in echo chambers like Laura spoke about. Like, I'm talking to virtual reality people, to artificial intelligence people. This is the scary part. I have had people that have used animal love, specifically love for cats, as a way to get into my emotional vulnerabilities to talk business to me. That's going to happen with animals, veterinarians.
It happens with kids. Pets and kids are a very quick way to relate to people, I feel. I don't have kids, but pets right. I can talk to yeah. very quickly. Or nieces and nephews, I think, are a good way as well. But yeah, like Jose said, it is also a very quick way for people to manipulate you.
Being fully aware that you're always being manipulated. That's the only true answer to fully understanding this new world, right? It's That's really true. Funny. I think yeah. about
social media, you know, any TikTok is
I'll give you an amazing
education. Even subtly, like your parents are always trying to, you know, lead you the right way.
It's always coursing towards something. That's actually something that I'll give you a really good analogy. It's something that we're seeing now, that we're seeing a lot now with the Gen Alphas and the new generation of kids is that most older generations in our generations too, we see them as overly cynical. We call them cynical. We call them like, oh, these people are very dark minded. But in reality, they're operating under the pretense that they're always being manipulated, that everything that they're reading is always likely not true. If anything, they're operating in the best way possible in this new world. If anything, we should learn from them and understand that that is the new way, the new normal, the new way of thinking is everything that you interact with is coercion, manipulation, indoctrination, and education towards something. So navigate
to the best of your ability, to your value.
Keep true to yourself.
And a lot of that too is again, the spread of information, like being able to have so much information now, like that you couldn't before. Like I'm thinking like now, like when I was, you know, I'm not that old now, right? Like I'm 30, but like when I was younger, like there was not that much information out there.
No, right. Yeah.
You know, like my niece
you would go
12.
To the you would go to the library and you would you would read or you would have to look for it.
Yeah, or yeah, there was internet, right? But like there was MySpace. It wasn't like you had like all this ton of information. Like,
what about the books that are now being made only digitally? And now they're putting in conversations about licensing to libraries and libraries can't afford licensing. So what happens when you go to a library that is, that you go for a specific book and they say, hey, we only got this one.
They don't. Yeah, exactly. They're banning books and you're like, what?
There you go. It's every single interaction, whether virtually or physically, socially, economically, they're all designed to coerce you into something else.
And to bring it back. And that's why I think like connection with animals is so important too, because that is like the most genuine kind of connection you can have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or the most ungenuine connection that you can have, but we socially... This is the reality.
You accept it.
You accepted it because
socially,
animals
can't
that's tell
true.
You they don't.
The most socially acceptable genuine connection. Right. Is the most, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I don't want children. I have a dog and who I treat like a child. Well, not like a child, but you know, like I.
Deeply, it gives you the emotional connection.
Right.
Yeah.
And I deeply like love it and I deeply try to understand. And so to my partner and I, get people like our parents asking like, why don't you want a child? And so when I tell them like, well, I don't want to do I don't want to coerce them like you have, you know, because you have a child and you're like, well, he's going to be better than me, right? Exactly. You always, and then you're trying.
I feel your pain. Yeah. I get the same questions all the time.
And you try to navigate and you're like, well, I just want to do what I want to do. Exactly. And you're trying to put your.
They had their analytics. They had their data. They had their coercion.
Correct.
They had their
AI. That's how it's always been. That's how my mom was, their mom and their mom and their mom.
But I think it's a little harder for a female.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Because I guess we're more emotional.
No, plus you're expected. Like, it doesn't matter if the man, like, what about your husband? Are you sure your husband isn't going to want a kid? At some point, it's like, who cares? It's
their algorithm. It's their echo chamber. That was their AI. That's their, the really scary thing is that we always talk about, like, oh man, there's like, who's going to control the things that we see in our eyes? It's like, since the invention of the TV, you don't, like, the American TV doesn't show you
or
Chinese.
Like press.
That's have always existed. Like, we talk about that all the time. There's a really, really good, well-known quote that it's, history is written by the victor. That is actually not true. It's, history is written by the best PR team.
Right.
That's, like the losers in history had the best the best PR team. Like,
yeah, PR no, has like, the same thing
if
for
you go
all the time.
To countries that have lost wars, they never lost a war.
Right, yeah, I know.
Like, what are you talking about? It's PR that's the victor. So PR has always existed. They're like, a lot of people never think about the person that approached George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and told him, I have the connections, the relationships, the resources,
money.
The money to make you the face. That is
the norm. Right, but I think, like, you could, at least for me, I find it that I could pick it up. Mm-hmm. Because there's certain, like, it's a fine-tunement that you learn. That it's like, you're full of shit.
Have you ever had a genuine question? And I want you to answer it quite honestly. It's hard to answer. Have you ever accidentally replied to a text or a message or an email that happened to be an AI?
Probably. I'm there pretty sure.
So you so.
But I know it.
There's space for improvement of what you mentioned.
Right.
But there like, are there's some that you haven't even processed that is happening to you.
So because I'm in a different entrepreneur space than you guys are. Yeah. I am trying to learn how to monetize from my content, right? And so there's a ton of people that, you know, I don't know, the phone knows, you know, Instagram knows, TikTok knows that that's what you're trying to do. So they give you those ads, right? Yeah. And to me, I'm like, these are it's the same formula. I know the formula. It's just like, I have to unlock it for myself.
There you go. Yeah.
But the formula is the same if you pay this person or this person or this person. It's the same formula. Right?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's a god. You have all the tools to create your safe space.
I kind of like you're,
that's what's happening. It is a disruption at a very massive level that people are going to have difficulty. There's so many things that have lost value that people still don't realize. Money. Yeah. They're like Twitter got purchased for $40 billion. There's an interview with Elon Musk a day after he purchased it, and they told him, $40 billion, why? And he said, $44 billion. And he goes like, that's going to be worth nothing in about a year.
Yeah.
The ideology of equal consensus is over. So when you really think about it, coercion is always something that people want to have, whether they do it positive, with positive intention, like a parent trying to tell their child, this is what's best for you. They were also being done that to them by watching videos of people going to the moon that were told, hey, you know, anybody can be an astronaut, or it's protecting the echo chamber, you know, especially, you know, women's rights, right? When you think of women, I think about that picture of the woman with the arm. It's like symbolism, ideology, it allows for mass levels of coercion, right? Mm-hmm. If you get everybody to agree on a symbol, it's easier to manipulate. It's much easier to manipulate. But in reality, the real superpower or the new norm is to make your own symbol.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. Please hit the subscribe button if you liked us. And it would be even better if you would leave us a review. See you next Wednesday.